The title of what I want to talk about today is For Granted, which comes from a phrase in English. Usually it has a bad feeling. Being taken for granted is not a good thing. Not being appreciated, not being noticed for being there. But I'd like to use the phrase in a different way. So sometimes people ask me, why I say that teaching is a good practice for me. And it wasn't an interesting enough question for me to really go inside, but now that Gyan is in my life, I can really understand why teaching is a good practice for me, in a similar way to how being with Gyan is a great practice for me. And it has a lot to do with willingly being taken for granted so that he can take for granted love and life and freedom. Which at the same time, being with him and helping that connection stay with him, without knowing what his life is going to look like, does something also to me to help my connection to taking this life and this love as a gift, as granted. As given without needing to exchange anything. And so all of the many times every day that the situation makes me go out of my way, and so he bites me, and I can't eat breakfast when I want to eat breakfast, and then it's cold chai, and someone else put the sugar in, so it's too much sugar. And so all of those things that usually make up our lives actually are just so not important, because this is what I've felt drawn to do. So of course I'm not like promoting go and have a baby at all. I want to talk about what can make spiritual practice go as deep as possible. And one of my teachers, Pundaji, used to tell people don't practice, and people take him still very literally. And I think one of the things that may have been going on there is he might have seen us with so much love that he thought we were better than we were. He said, don't practice, but celebrate. What else would you want to do? I remember the satsang before the first time I went back to the West after being in Lucknow with him a year and a half, and much more than that in India. And he said, what else would you want to do than this? So there's this poem called This that I like, so I take this opportunity. This we have now is not imagination. This is not grief or joy. Not a judging state, or an elation, or sadness. Those come and go. This is the presence that doesn't. It's dawn, my friend, here, inside the friend with a capital F. It's dawn, my friend, here, inside the friend. In the simple truth of what someone named Halaj said, I am truth, I am God. He was killed for that. What else could human beings want? When grapes turn to wine, they're wanting this. When the night sky pours by, it's really a crowd of beggars, and they all want some of this. This we are now, created this body, cell by cell, like bees building a honeycomb. The human body and the universe grew from this, not this from the human body and the universe. Sometimes we don't know how to feel this. We don't know how to connect to this. And we're we've been talking about story these days. We're too much in our story. Sometimes we're in the story, the anti-story story. I don't want your story to be part of my story. And sometimes we don't know what is our genuine way, our 100% no holding back way. And I think it's okay to start with what is at hand, what has come to us, that seems good enough to start with. And also always remembering that we're just starting with that, trying it on, seeing how it feels, to walk that way, to lie down that way, etc. We can, for a while, adopt someone else's way if we can't feel our own way to connect. We can't feel this right now. But knowing that it's on the way to our way, to something that is specific and concrete and also beyond the story, where we give it all. Because in each moment, giving it all is what we want to do most. So again, it's not the outcome. And many times we think when it seems to be going well, we have pleasant states of mind, or it looks like people are liking us or whatever. I think, oh, my son is happy. Look, I'm doing well. So then what happens when he's crying? Suddenly, did I do it wrong all of that time? So we're just at the same time giving fully and receiving fully. What is not controlled by us, thank God. It's not like packaging, exchanging packaged things, experiences. One kind of tip for the times that we don't yet have our way, we don't have our gyan, our baby or whatever, that pulls us completely, that feels 100%. Sometimes when I was teaching retreats in situations that didn't feel 100% appropriate to me, what was happening, the format, etc. And another secret agent teacher who was my colleague as well there, and I just said, okay, we quit and we're just here. So when we're trying on, we're trying to do someone else's way. We're trying to be in a situation that doesn't feel like it really calls us completely. Not trying to fit into the role or the image that we've understood to be what's asked of us. So quitting the job, quitting the role, and still being there, letting something happen. So I brought Jacques just for comfort. I'm not even going to try to see like which page, which line, but. Sorry? Oh, the name of this book sounds like what it's not. It's called Against the Pollution of the Eye. But it doesn't mean the way we think of the eye as a polluting factor. He's talking about the inner life, the genuine, as Ramana called the self, being polluted by all of the advertising and stuff that started to go on this much more now. And the need to take time to feel, to actually have a real inner life instead of a story. I forgot which line of his I was going to say, so. It's okay. I would like to talk about how, and this is Jacques 100%, taking limitations as a way to help us know freedom. So this is partly to help us not buy too much into the anti-story, the don't bother me with your story, thinking that my own story is a problem. But in each of our stories, there are specifics, which means there are limitations. Sometimes it's easier to see when there's an illness, how we have to slow down. And that's good sometimes. Or he has to find another way to see. And that's good. And in fact, it's good for us too, because we get to hear about that. And that stretches us. Jacques talks about how the whole world is in us. And I want to say a little bit about this. Sometimes our inner experience could look like everything is in us when we see how much projection is going on, how much I relate to you as my version of you, and how much I relate to me as my version of me in this moment. Instead of what Jacques calls direct cognition, where it is actually a meeting. So he was a teacher also. He taught for decades. Welcome. And people sometimes asked him, don't you have a problem with discipline in your classes? That would be the typical question to ask a blind professor. Don't you have a problem seeing when they're passing the notes or laughing at you in front of your face? And he said that in all his, I forget if it's 25 or 35, however many decades of teaching,
he
can't see.
That's
not what he said. He said he can hear the silence. He can hear when they're bored, when they're curious. He can hear the group as a whole. He can hear the individuals. He can also see them in full color. Yeah. But it's an interior world where it's possible for there to be a meeting between minds, like each coming out of the mind and meeting. And I think this is what kind of it all comes down to. The meeting that happens not between two minds, but between the minds in a space that's not mind. And what Jacques keeps saying is how accessible this is to us if we would allow life to demand us to pay attention. And so now this word attention probably causes tension. But let's talk about, for me, with Gyan. It is impossible to pay attention with tension 24 hours a day. So when there's something that starts to call us into a 24-hour-a-day love affair, then we have to find a way of continuously being tuned in for inspiration of what needs to happen now on a very basic level. I'm not talking about which subtle state shall I enter now, but is it time to feed him some rice or yogurt or try to get him to sleep a little longer? Or do I need to go pee now? This is what I'm talking about. This is also important, like something that can make us feel the sense of the basic things. And this, the enrichment that can happen there, when I come out of my mind and know it's still not time for me to pee 2 hours later. The enrichment is hard for the mind to take into account. It's hard for the mind to come into contact with that richness, to accept it. The challenges and the difficulties when life, we allow life to pull us beyond ourselves, are very measurable. And the enrichment is very immeasurable. And that calls us to pay attention to the immeasurable. So Jacques said, the immeasurable. Yeah. If I would be keeping track of all of the measurable, let's say, challenges, I think that I would be, I would have like broken down a long time ago. What's beautiful in this practice of feeling that life is granted, it's for granted, it's given. And seeing how natural that is for Gyan, and how unnatural, not really, but how we don't accept that anymore. It gives me a lot of motivation to be with Gyan and also to be with us, to see this simple connection that we think doesn't belong to us, this life, this love, whatever, that is granted to us. I'm calling life, but I know not everyone agrees with that word, but we could say freedom today. Freedom is for granted. So it's there. If we can let the specifics of our life call our attention to it in a way that's sustainable. So it's sometimes must look surprising, if not terrible or ironic, that someone who is like a queen of resting and like, let's say, maybe, I don't know how many years, dedicated to resting. I'm now sitting here talking about, in a state of exhaustion, talking about letting life demand our attention. Each in our own way. That in each moment, it's a fulfilling, it's a complete moment. That attention being drawn, that being pulled into the space between minds, not knowing the outcome.
You know, most of us Westerners have the adrenaline problem, right? Running on adrenaline, being too busy.
Yeah.
Where is the fine line between what you're describing and that madness?
Yeah. Yeah. The madness, this is the pollution of the eye that Jacques is saying. Yeah. So maybe, could you hear?
No.
Okay. What would you like to say it louder, maybe, instead of me repeating? Maybe if you turn around.
I will. Okay.
The adrenaline. The adrenaline.
Yeah, I'm asking Zaya to clarify the difference between what she's describing and the mad adrenaline rush most of us know as life in the West, which is also demanding so much out of us.
Yeah.
Make us exhausted, don't get enough sleep. All the same symptoms, but there's got to be a difference.
Yeah.
She didn't know that yet.
So, one difference is the exhaustion. So I'm guessing I must be exhausted, but I don't feel actually exhausted. That's one thing. I'm guessing like not sleeping a full night for more than a year. Probably I'm exhausted. And when I have a chance to rest, it's so good. But another way, well, first I just finished with my story, so to speak. Like resting for, let's say, 10 or 20 years, I don't know. And now what happens is outwardly not resting, but sometimes fully resting. And sometimes the more the demand, the more it has to be fully resting. And I want to just continue this, and hopefully I remember the other thing I want to say. It's not, the story doesn't always go the same way. Someone else might have been fully active. Maybe even a practice that was very active. Maybe even consciously active. Probably something's going to change at some point, and it's going to land in bed. Maybe unable to move, or maybe not wanting to move. Both situations have their challenges. If I'm unable to move, I could be in a fight with my circumstances and say, this is not fair, why did life do this to me? I was just on the point of almost something all along. And not wanting to move, the challenge is really having the confidence in that not wanting to move, letting it take over. I guess that probably for most of us, we probably all need a good chunk of time to deprogram ourselves from the busyness, I think. And even at Harvard, they also think the same thing. Yeah. There's a school about sleep at Harvard now. Thank goodness. And they say that eventually we're going to realize that this overdoing is as dangerous to our, even just to our physical well-being, as what it used to be like in the States in the 1950s. People used to get drunk and go driving as the night's activity, until we realized how stupid that was. And they say that's what we're going to realize soon. That's what we're starting to realize. That this madness of our addiction to adrenaline is not even talking about spiritual life. It's physically dangerous. There are more wrecks. There are more serious errors in the hospital where someone gives the wrong medication or the wrong diagnosis, etc. So we're starting to realize this. But even starting to realize that, even having Harvard backing you up, it's hard to have that much confidence when you really feel like the most complete moment is lying still and lying still and lying still and lying still and no outcome, no outcome, no outcome, but this is good, this is good, this is good. Or worse, sometimes, outcome, apparent outcome. Adrenaline, and starting to make the story in a different direction. I'm going to rest so that I get that back. Now I'm doing it right. And we lose our way. So that's why the title is Taking for Granted, or For Granted. It's not that I want us to take each other for granted. And many of us, we do take for granted our strengths. We do not see them. And someone who is used to being taken for granted has a big challenge to dare to ask for help before it becomes like a desperate situation where you have no other way. That's also okay. So another of my favorite poems. This is from Carl Sandburg in a collection called Breathing Tokens. One reason that I like to read like Jacques and Carl is that they weren't necessarily like yogis. I don't know about their life, but we don't know them as like someone who lived in the cave or whatever, knows how to meditate in the way that we think of meditation. And they find the same things inside. So tell me if there's any English word that's too hard. The first sentence I think we can all get. You were made for joy, child. I think this could be a nice mantra. You were made for joy, child. The feet of you were carved for that. The ankles of you run for that. The rise of the rain, the shift of the wind, the drop of a red star on a far water rim. An endless catalog, an endless list, an endless moment of shouts, laughters, silent contemplations. They made you from day to day for joy, child. And then there's a little space, but the poem keeps going, which I didn't realize until yesterday. Because the first part is so good. But the second part can help us evolve into ourselves, evolve into a human being. So this is still the same poem, but a very different voice. Well, he sat up and said to himself, this is good, and I will go to it. Till then, he had been satisfied with himself. That's part of the difference. When we're addicted to the adrenaline, it's a status symbol to be more and more busy. Till then, we had been satisfied with ourselves. Now there came back an old unrest. He had a hunch. So who would like to say what a hunch is? I thought it would be fun to hear different versions of what a hunch is.
An insightful idea.
A sense of something. Intuition. Yeah. For me, a hunch is very bodily. Bodily. Gut feeling. Yeah. So what Carl says is a hunch. He says, this person, which is us, we had a hunch, a new hunch, another and another, instead of ideas, whims. A whim is kind of like, oh, maybe now I'll go to that satsang, or try to beat my breath, or whatever. He had a hunch, we had a new hunch, another and another. Instead of ideas, whims, now he had hunches. So he said, this is good, I will go to it. So we let ourselves get gathered into the hunch, and the next hunch, and the new hunch, and the next hunch, instead of scattered in the ideas and the whims. So that's another difference in response to Nadia's question. There's a gathering, and we start to feel a new power. And often, there's a fear of that power, because we don't see many versions of power that is kind and wise at the same time. But if we can really stay kind of peeled back, that it's not the outcome, feeling the completeness with each hunch. Another way would be like best guess. We don't know if it's going to work out. But it feels, in this moment, complete and complete and complete. Or maybe complete is not the right word, just good and good and good. Even when it's like there was maybe about a month that Gyan could only sleep when I was sitting up in bed holding him while he slept, while I was not doing my early morning yoga, taking my shower, doing my usual spiritual routine, while I was not doing that, while I was sitting uncomfortably and cold in a damp room that I didn't have time to make undamp, holding him while he slept. And it was in that moment, one of those moments, this is to say what I mean by good. Like, it's not like pleasant, always. And if we cannot add to the unpleasantness with the idea and with the, if only I could just slip out of here and do my yoga. Or if it was even longer, at least if I could slip out of here and have a hot drink. Or just cover myself. Not ideas, just hunches. One of those many nights, like not the one I might have chosen, but one of them, something like this teaching came that is still unraveling me, I would say. And it's specific to me. It doesn't matter what it is. It's just to say that happens. Like letting ourselves be unpeeled. Part of what that helps is that we can be helped. Not when we demand it, necessarily. Probably not. Because in that demand, we're not open to the help. Just sitting there. Maybe I thought, well, I might as well do a little mantra. Who knows? But it wasn't for the mantra that this came. What I can say, the quality, because when teaching, it's not at all, that word has nothing to do with that experience. It is like the friend came. Maybe why that poem came also today, about being inside the friend, where we can get reconnected to I am truth, I am God, even if they're going to kill me for saying it, which they did to Halach. Another way to say this connection, because you were asking connected to what, Bia? Jacques Luceron. He also came to me in the last year. He came to me in August. When he says that the real world is in us, but it's not ours. And the source of it is source of this real world that is in us, where we are all here inside the friend. The source of that is neither in me or outside of me. But he says, when we let us demand that the projection stop, I really want to be with you, not my version of you.
Not what?
Not my version of you, not my cartoon of you. So someone today was saying, I'm a puppy, I'm like a puppy, and I want to be puppy with puppies. That's another way of saying. There is, he says, Jacques says someone, and I disagree with someone. I would say something, but it doesn't matter. Someone and something is watching. And it has no history. And it does not get involved with linear space. There is in this space everything. But this that is watching doesn't believe in linear space. And has no history. So it can be complete, complete, complete. So one last thing of, for me, being with Gyan and what happens in anyone's spiritual life when we let that take us. Gyan says, many times, I don't think he means to say this, but he says, This is. This is. This. This. This is. I'm not trying to make projections on him as if he knows and he's telling us. It's just so lovely that he's just keeps saying this, this is, this is. And that includes, like, here we are in a silent retreat, and I'm one of the organizers of the retreat. I'm leading this silent retreat. And so it could easily happen that when it's time for the 3:30 guided meditation and the tractor comes to dig in the mud, that I could become tense and think, this should not happen. This is a silent retreat. But Gyan is like, tractor. This is. This. When he hears a tractor, he starts to wave always. In Lucknow, there's many things on the road, but it's a tractor that he'll wave to. And it's very cool because they usually wave back. This is. And then it's his hand waving that he's kind of like, whose hand is that? This. So I think that's all I have to say. Is there any question?
I started wondering. You said
I'm just gonna stand up if you don't.
I really want to meet you.
Yeah.
And this sounds for me on deeper level impossible. There is no you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My mind don't understand. But
yes.
In one way, I say, there is no you.
Yes. Exactly. The meeting that's in between the two minds. Yeah. Then the minds can also help us to meet. They can, in the meeting, then the mind can help out sometimes. Mm-hmm. With some specific words, specific gestures, specific words and gestures, or not moving. That's what he's saying, like it's all in us.
And it's just for me in the moment a concept.
Yes.
Because I believe in you, I see you,
yeah.
I feel there's something else, but.
Yeah.
And this confusion.
Yeah.
On the one hand side, you have this longing to really make the experience, this me is me. And on the other hand side, what is my real experience in the moment?
Yeah. So sometimes when we say real experience, we give too much space to that separation that we know so well. Where your story affects me so much, and I don't want it to, basically, the anti-story school. But we can also, like, see that actually that takes up some space in our experience, but there's this whole other part of us that feels, like you said, there's a feeling. So hunch, there's a hunch, and another hunch, and a new hunch. And we say, eventually we say, yeah, this is good. I will go to it.
So how is it possible that we love each other, that relationships come in, that we are so, if I'm looking in the world, this is the most famous model, man and a woman find together, make family.
Yeah.
So it's really the question why we are going for this.
Yeah. Good question.
If there is nobody outside, I cannot. No, it's just.
Yeah.
I cannot meet somebody. And there is a longing to have some small paradise or whatever. in this small island called family,
yeah.
called home,
yeah.
called private space.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's your feeling?
To build security?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what's your other feeling? She said maybe it's about security. And I said, maybe there's any other feeling also?
No, it's a question.
She said, no, it's a question. Okay. So that actually helped me because I would like to put some more emphasis on one part of what I was saying. In my case, with Gyan, to take care of him, it's important that my needs are also taken care of. It's important that my needs are also taken care of. My needs, what I need. Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, needs. So if we see, like, from an impersonal perspective, life wants Gyan to be taken care of. And even if we don't talk about me, my needs need to be met so that I can take care of him. And so my previous conditioning was like needs? And many times it's the preferences that we feel as needs. And we don't even feel our needs. So part of a situation that could be called like spiritual practice, our own real way, is something that where really nothing extra, not the image of supermom. So I'm enjoying sacrificing myself for him because that fits an image. That does not work. And we know it doesn't work. But there's just not time. There's no way. Anything other than this, like, real needs, which is not only about food and where can I sleep. There's also the mother need of love, of being inside the friend. Being inside the friend, there may or may not be a kind of long-lasting meeting with another person. But mostly when we have that thing, that paradise, we're in hell. Because it's about the image. And we're demanding from that situation instead of, like, letting life pull us bigger than people. Pull us bigger. Yeah. Okay. Enough. Let's, maybe we have a few moments quiet together. Comfortably.